Amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, thank God for the singing. Thank God for the preaching we've already heard. What a blessing it's been. Amen. Why don't you turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 32. Check 2 Chronicles 32. Thank God for the Old Testament. Thank God for Bible conference. Thank God for a time when the Bible is honored and God is magnified. The Lord Jesus is exalted. Amen. And God's people rejoice, and we praise God for those days. It's a blessing to have those days, and we praise the Lord for it. As he was reading out of Genesis, aren't you glad we have the book of Genesis? Well, what we do without those first two chapters? Amen. We got folks that don't want the Old Testament today, amen. I mean, it's a well of the resources of God. It's just so rich all the way through. Some will often say, well, you don't get saved by the law. Nobody ever did. They didn't get saved by the law in the Old Testament when they had the law, amen. What did Abraham and David find out? Amen. The Bible says very clearly they found out it wasn't by works, it was by believing, amen. It's the gift of God, hallelujah. Thank God for his righteousness that he's willing to give us. We have an unusual person. Matter of fact, a very unusual person in this chapter. His name is Hezekiah. He was a great king, and God used him mightily, and God blessed him mightily. God did things for Hezekiah, he did for no one else. There's no other person recorded that God did for as he did for Hezekiah. Matter of fact, as he was facing the enemies of God, God miraculously sent down the angels, of course, and defeated the enemies of God. And of course, he did that for others, but not exactly like he did for Hezekiah. Verse 17 says, when they had begun to write letters against God and against the people of God, the enemy, Sennacherib, had come. He'd brought his mighty army. He's come down to destroy God's people. Verse 17 says, he wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel. It's a dangerous thing to rail on the Lord. Amen. And to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. I'm here to say God can still deliver his people. Amen. Doesn't matter if Biden's in office or whoever, all the rascals up there, amen. God still can take care of us. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall to affright them and to trouble them that they might take the city. There are a lot of people afraid today. There's people more afraid of COVID than they are of God. Amen. What a fear has been brought over the church in this day. Unbelievable, amen. I mentioned the other day, I was reading some history. The estimated amount of people that died in the flu epidemic in the early 1900s was 20 to 40 million. 20 to 40 million. And God's people made it through it, amen. We are living in a day when almost they're saying nobody's ever died before. Nobody's ever been sick before. There's been people dying since the Garden of Eden, amen. Everybody's been to a funeral but Abel. And Abel went to his home, but he wasn't there anymore. Death has been around all this time. I read the other day that over 20 million has died from AIDS. Isn't that amazing? And they've scared us to death. We used to believe that you died when God said. Now we believe you die when Fauci said. What an extreme difference. They have scared America to death. Death is real. Sickness is real. Cancer is real. Heart attack is real. Stroke is real. All that is real. Kidney disease is real. Diabetes is real. All these things are real. Sin's brought a lot of things on us. Not just COVID, but all the things that has plagued mankind. But all of a sudden, they begin to frighten us and tell us, you're going to die if you don't do this. You're going to die if you don't do that. I tell you, you're going to die no matter what you do. Amen. It's upon a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. We're facing death every day. And God wants us to trust Him. And believe that He can take us through if He wants to, or He can take us out if He chooses to. Amen. Some of us are going to die before we get greatly old. A lot of us are already old. Amen. But some of us are going to die before we get real old. Amen. Some of us are going to die while we're healthy. Some of us are going to die while we're sick. Some of us are going to die in accidents. Some of us are going to die in tragic situations. There have been men of God died in tragic situations. I remember when Brother Lester Roloff crashed his airplane. I couldn't believe it. Amen. And somehow we've got the ideal that if you're right with God, you're not going to die in this world. You're going to die in this world, but that living soul he preached on, thank God, is forever and ever and ever. Amen. Fear hath torment. Perfect love casteth out fear. So they were afraid and they were listening to the enemy. The Bible says, and they spake against the God of Jerusalem and against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man. They exalted the things of themselves. Our God is still the God of the universe. He's still the God of all, amen. He has and will be and always has been. Lord, as Brother Bailey preached to us this evening. Hezekiah handled it rightly in verse number 20. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven. You can't improve that. You can't get above God. Amen. Fauci ain't helped us a bit, praise God. And Biden sure hadn't done us any good. Amen. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. He sent down the angel and he took out all the generals, all the high officials, all those in leadership. And when he got done, all the prophets were standing there with nobody giving them orders. Amen. And the king stood there with all of his men in despair. Putin's in despair over there today. He's just fired a large number of his generals, amen, because they don't know what to do. He's asking foreigners to come and help him. Not to fight a nation in a sense, but to fight one of the states. It'd be like us going to war against Connecticut and asking China to come and help us. Or hiring a bunch from Iran to come over and fight with us so we could take Connecticut. If you don't think God's in control, you've got to be blind, amen. Thank God he's still on the throne, hallelujah. Don't be in despair. Magnify the name of God and glorify his name and exalt him, amen. The Lord sent down the angel and he destroyed all that leadership crowd. And when he was coming to his house, he goes back home. He's pouting, no doubt, like Ahab and others had. And when he was coming to his house, the latter part of verse 21, he come into the house of his God. They that came from his own bowels slew him there with a sword. I'd not be surprised if somebody in Russia don't kill Putin. Amen. But I'm going to say this, God's in control if they burn the whole place down in Ukraine. Amen. If they drop an atomic bomb right in the center of the United States of America, God's still in control. When the people of God in Jerusalem under Jeremiah, they cried, the temple, we've got the temple. God said, that temple, I'm going to tear it to the ground. There's not going to be nothing left of it. Amen. Our hope's not in this building. Our hope's not in our possessions. Our hope's not in our successes. Our hope is in Jesus. To be here is wonderful to serve God, but to depart is far better. Amen. The best thing that happened to me and you is to be in heaven. And God's not going to make any mistake how He gets us there. Amen. Whether He gets us there one at a time or all together, amen. It doesn't make any difference. He's never made a mistake, praise God. When trouble comes, we're to lift up our heads and rejoice because our redemption draweth nigh. He is altogether complete in everything He does. There was nothing left undone in everything He does, amen. Hezekiah saw God do great and mighty things. Amen. Verse 22, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Isn't it good that God is your guide? There's not a person in this building that's saved God hadn't guided you. He's kept you from problems. He's kept you out of trouble. He's led you through situations you didn't have a clue what to do. And somehow God just put light on your steps. And the Bible said the Word of God is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. And God led you. And the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And He leads us. Matter of fact, you know He's healed everybody in this building. It bothers me. I've been all my life. I have been in West Virginia, except for just traveling. Amen. And I'm sure they're everywhere. They're on the radio. They're on the TVs. I'm certain they are. Amen. I don't have one, but I'm sure they're there. All the faith healers. Amen. God has healed me miraculously. I've seen God heal other people miraculously. But I told one day. I said, you know, I said I guarantee you, I'd like to visit your church. Y'all probably got some folks 150, 175 years old in your church. He kind of stared at me. I said, well, maybe 100, 110. A lot of them, I'm sure you got just pews full of people 100, 110 years old. He still stared at me. I said, the truth is your people die just like all of us. Your people die of cancer, heart attack, stroke like the rest of us. It's a farce what you're saying. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And until Jesus comes and changes our vile body in the likeness of His glorious body, we're in a battle with this stinking flesh every day we live. He got a little bit upset. He said, don't you believe that God healed all them people in the Bible? I said, and yeah, and every one of them died after He healed them. I said, everyone He raised from the dead died. I said, you know where Lazarus lives now? I said, when you wake up and realize death is a part of life, you'll get a whole lot better along with this world in telling them they need to get right with God. Amen. Hezekiah had been blessed of God tremendously. God had helped him. Amen. And you ought to thank God has helped you. You'd have died of the flu. You'd have died of the mumps. You'd have died of the measles. You'd have died of the whooping cough. You'd have died of something if God hadn't helped you. Amen. You might have strangled on your mother's milk and died if God hadn't helped you. We got to quit playing games with the things of this world and say God's right, always has been right. Death is real. God's told us about it since Genesis. It's an exit place for the child of God. He makes no mistakes. In this time of being blessed, people brought all sorts of gifts to Hezekiah. The Bible says in verse 23, and many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, excuse me, king of Judah. So that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. Hezekiah is a blessed individual. You're a blessed individual. You're griping about the price of gasoline and diesel fuel. Our forefathers couldn't even afford a horse. Some of them had a mule they plowed with and rode it too, amen. We've had it so good so long, we have just become a bunch of spoiled brats in this country we have. Amen. While our brethren across the seas and other nations have suffered and starved and went without, and we sat in this country and grumble and complain. Hey, I remember when you had to rattle a few dimes together to get gas when it's 25 cents a gallon. And now you roll into the gas pump and you can afford to buy it at $5 a gallon. You ought to shout every time you pull in and say, hallelujah, my God is able to buy gas. I don't care if it's $100 a gallon. My God can take care of me. Amen. The world is hearing the church grumble more today than it's ever grumbled in its history. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The Democrats nor the Republicans are going to deliver us. If Trump was running for office, I'd vote for him today. But he is not God, and he cannot deliver this nation. Amen. When the election was fumbled, my friend, many Christians lost their faith. Hey, our hope is not in man, it's in God. All the blessings of God is poured out upon Hezekiah. If the church ever had an opportunity to shout it over to me today, you probably drove in a better vehicle today than you've ever drove, or at least as good a one. My grandson was asking me coming down about when automobiles had this and that. I said they didn't have air conditioning, they didn't have nothing. They didn't have power brakes and power steering. Some of them, amen. Mine didn't, amen. Yes, sir. We're blessed beyond measure. We're dressing better. We're living better. Hey, listen, don't believe everything that everybody is saying. Had a person not long ago, they was preaching to me this health food. This natural food. You can't have no GMOs and all, you know, none of that stuff, amen. I said, do you know when people, that's all they ate, what the lifespan of Americans was? 40 years. All they had was their natural food in the garden, natural food. They didn't give no shots to their cows. They didn't give no shots to their pigs. They didn't homogenize their milk, and they average living about 40 years. And we're scared to death today. We go down and buy a banana. It's got to be one that's some kind of a supernatural banana. You're going to live till Jesus says. I don't care if you buy every vitamin they got or you never have a one. I'm not talking about being foolish, but I'm sure saying we ought not to be foolish about all this foolishness that's coming down the road. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. But we're in dangerous times. The most dangerous moment for Hezekiah was not Sennacherib. The most dangerous time for Hezekiah was not when he was laying in his bed sick. The most dangerous time for Hezekiah was when God delivered him from Sennacherib and God healed him in his bed. That's when the most dangerous time was for him. Hey, our most dangerous time, friend, is not when Fauci's up there spitting his mouth off and he's as dumb as a box of rocks as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not smart. But I believe I'm smarter than that. Amen. Our most dangerous time, God is blessing us in the middle of the storm and we are acting like we can't see it. God's feeding us, clothing us, putting gas in our tank, keeping us going down the highway, and we're still complaining and griping and grumbling and saying, if we can just get the Republicans back in office, if we can just put Trump back on the throne, if we can just, I'll tell you what we need. We need to have an old-fashioned shouting time and praise God for about an hour and a half and quit grumbling. Amen. God poured His blessings out on Israel in the wilderness, and as soon as they ate the food and as soon as they drank the water, they grumbled again. You go down to the place and fill up your tank and drive away grumbling. You ought to drive away shouting and say, glory to God, hallelujah, I can still buy it at $5 a gallon. Amen. We're ruined by a worldly attitude. We're ruined, crippling our soul from praising our God. In the vestibules of our churches, the main discussion is how bad everything is. In the prayer rooms of our churches, the discussion is how terrible things have gotten. You ain't never had it no better. Used to plow the horse. I got a tractor. We've never had it better. It's wonderful. And Satan is cheating us out of our praise to God. A dangerous moment is not when the enemy is about to take your life. I said this the other day, and I wrote it to some folks in a little text. The greatest danger of the church is today is not Satan killing us. It's his taking our holiness. He can do a lot more damage to this church by taking your holiness than it ever do by killing you. If we'd be a lot more afraid of sin than we are of death, we'd be a lot better off. But because of this foolishness, we're allowing things to happen in our lives that should never be. Amen. The Bible says in chapter number 32 and verse 24, in those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him and he gave him a sign. Now, he done several things for Hezekiah that nobody's ever done. He never done it for anybody else. He healed Hezekiah after he told Hezekiah through the prophet he's going to die. Then he told Hezekiah how many more years he'd give him. And then he gave him a miraculous sign from God as turning back the sundial to show him he didn't have to live by faith. He could live by sight on the issue of God's healing. God never did that for anybody, brother. He did that for Hezekiah. Boy, I tell you, God's helping us through all this stuff. God's carrying us through all these storms. God's taking us through all this mess. Amen. And we're letting the devil silence us. We're going to be praising, worshiping, and magnifying His name. There will be more shouting, more testifying, more worship in the church now than there ever has been. He's about pulled the wick out of our lamp. He said, preacher, I got oil, but you got to have a wick.
That's right. Yeah. You tell that right.
This is what the Bible says. But Hezekiah rendered not. Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. God's taking care of us in the midst of trouble. God's carrying us through a moment of darkness. Oh, preacher, I had a funeral in my family. People's had funerals all the way since Genesis. Adam and Eve had a funeral with Abel. You see, we are blinding ourselves. Life has never been absent from death, and death has never been absent from life. And if Satan can take death and scare you to death, you're not listening to what God said. Obama's got COVID now. He took the shot. He took the booster. He wore the mask. Unless he was partying somewhere. Amen. People shut their churches down, closed their buildings, turned the lights off. The lights went out in the house of God. How sad. Didn't at Walgreens either. When I was growing up as a boy, there's one drugstore in our county. And the county had more population than it does today. Now there's probably 10 or 15 drugstores in our county. And they haul in the dope in tractor trailer loads. Isn't that something? We've let the world trick us. And Hezekiah rendered not. He did not turn to God and magnify the Lord for what the Lord had did for him accordingly. He that's given much, much is required. He that knoweth much, he's going to be required much. If any crowd ought to be shouting, it ought to be some worship center down the road. It ought to be somebody that knows the Word of God. They're shouting and they think they might go to hell. And you ought to be shouting, you know you're not going to hell. Amen. They're shouting, they don't know which Bible's right. And we're not shouting and we know we got the Bible. They're shouting, they ain't even sure how to baptize. And we've got the book. Hey, we're in the last days. Ain't no doubt about that. I'm not playing games about the last days. It's going to be bad. There are going to be wars and rumors. Or somebody called me the other day. Oh, tore all to pieces and said, oh, preacher, I know you'll tell me the truth. I said, I'll try to. Well, how does this fall into prophecy? Russia coming into Ukraine. I said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. Hey, listen, don't try to make something that's not there. Those who did it in the 1800s flopped. Those who did it in the 1900s flopped. And those who have tried to take things that's not in the Bible and make it prophecy in the 2000s flopped. And let's just wait and say, Jesus is coming. I don't know if he's coming today or tomorrow. You might be gray-headed as a possum when he comes. We better watch if we don't tell the world so much, they say we're nuttier than they are. Amen. There's a lot of people said, we're going to line up all these numbers. Had a mixed up person in my family. I love them. My wife was in the hospital 16 years ago when she got crippled. They come into one of my families I was visiting. They said, we're going to pray and God is going to raise her up. I said, that's wonderful. Let's do that. They said, we're going to set a time. I said, that's good. We'll set a time. So what time you want to set? I said, now. They said, what? Do what? I said, well, let's just set it right now. Let God just heal her right now. No, we have to set a time. I said, that's what I'm setting is a time now. Why would you want the frogs in your bread one more day? Right. Hezekiah rendered not. Look, we got the truth, folks. We ought to be the shouting crowd. Amen. I got to get to the message somehow. This is all introduction. Amen. I was going to pray, but I hadn't been able to stop to pray. But I prayed while I was sitting over there a lot. I prayed driving down the road a lot. There's times I get in the pulpit and the Lord said, just preach, praise God. He rendered not. He rendered not. He didn't think about how God had been so good to him. He was in more danger now than he'd ever been in his life. The Bible says, he rendered not according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. He did not glorify God. He was like Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't glorify God. But God said because he was ignorant, God gave him an opportunity to repent. But God said the wrath of God is going to come on Judah because of Hezekiah. And here's what Hezekiah said. He said, long as don't come in my day, I don't care. I'm paraphrasing his words. Long as don't happen to me. As long as it happens to others, not me. You see, there were some problems in his life. Verse 27 says, and Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasures for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also, for all the increase of corn and wine and oil and stalls of all manner of beasts and coats of flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possession of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. God blessed him. Verse 31 says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, we know going back to Kings and reading, we can get the whole story, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. God walked away from Hezekiah to see what he's going to do. God walked back from Hezekiah, and Hezekiah never mentioned God. He didn't say, look what God has done. He showed all he had done. God just stepped back. I'm going to tell you, God will step behind you at Walmart to see what you will say about it. God will step behind you at the job when you're building a house to see what you're going to say about him. God will step behind you at the service station when you're pumping gas to see what you're going to say about him. And God will step aside and just see what we're going to say. See what we're going to say about the new vehicle we got. See what we're going to say about our children and how God has blessed them. Yep. To see what we're going to do. Yep. Hezekiah didn't glorify God. We better thank God where we're at today. Amen. We could be like Ukraine. Amen. Oh, nobody whoop America. No, they couldn't sink. They couldn't sink the Titanic either, could they? They render not. He did not glorify God. There's several things that were so dangerous. Number one, to think you deserve what you got. It's people better than me driving less. People better than me living less. People better than me doing without. People better than us whose kids are in trouble. Hezekiah felt like God owed him. God wouldn't even let Hezekiah die without telling him to get ready. That would be a blessing. I mean, if you imagine if tomorrow you was going to be kicking the bucket and the Holy Ghost said tomorrow at noon you're kicking the bucket. But if you do some heart searching tonight, you probably wouldn't go to sleep. Why go to sleep? You won't need sleep. You're going to check out. You probably wouldn't eat anything. God was good to Hezekiah. But Hezekiah was not good to God. He was in far more danger when his pride rose up in him than when Sennacherib rose up in him. He was far more danger when his pride rose up in him than when his sickness came on. We're in far more danger today when we don't worship and magnify our God and give Him the glory than we are when the COVID was at its peak. The COVID's come and about gone and you're still here. We better give God a lot of glory. To become proudful over what God gives you is foolish. God's gifts don't bring sorrow. Boy, this is getting mighty quiet in here. When we are prideful about what God gives us, we are foolish. Far better preachers than me, brother, have done without and suffered. Far better men of God than me have went through horror on this earth.
You're telling right.
I better not take for granted.
Well, you're telling right.
What God Almighty allows me to have, to enjoy, to have a piece of as I go through this world. God help us. It was far more dangerous for Hezekiah. It was far more dangerous for Hezekiah to forget how he was indebted to God than to face every enemy that come against him. You're indebted to God. And debated for years. I understand we have the virgins. I understand we have the servants. I understand we have the nations. And I understand you can place them, but I understand you can also learn from every verse in those scriptures. God's the same yesterday and forever. He's not changed. His principles are exact. He said to that woman with the one talent, he said, "You should have put my talent to usury. And then at my coming, you'd have something to give me." We've got our hand out. What are you going to give him at his coming? He rendered not. He gave back not. He never drew out of his life anything to give back. He took, but he never gave back. Our pride is doing us far more danger than Biden. Our pride is doing us far more danger than that foolish bunch of folks in Washington. Our pride is destroying us. God will never destroy and come into this house and all or any house of God and have to do a work because of Biden.
That's right. Amen.
When he wrote to the seven churches, it wasn't some king he was dealing with. It was the churches he was dealing with. Our problems in our house. Hezekiah was in far more danger of what he was going to make the future be than what the present would ever be. You see, Hezekiah began to store up and store up and store up. He became totally materialistic. 3 years after God healed him, he had a son born. And when Hezekiah died, that boy was 12 years old. All that boy ever saw was materialism. All he ever saw was storehouses of riches and storehouses of food and storehouses of fine things. That's all he ever saw. 12 years. Not a father that was exalting God every moment, but a father that was storing up. I tell you what most of our children have seen us do. Get all we can get in our fist and hang on to it. And then when they get about 17, 18, 19 years old and they strike out on the world to get rich and be famous and have all the stuff the world has to offer, we wonder how, where did they get that from? I tell you where they got it from. They got it from Hezekiah. They got it from Hezekiah, their daddy. What he was going to do through Manasseh was far worse than Sennacherib could have ever done. Manasseh was worse than Ahab. Manasseh reigned 55 years. 55 years. He destroyed every good thing that had been done by the people of God in the past 150 years. What is our children going to do when the next epidemic comes? They've watched you worry your little self to death. They've watched you not be able to handle one day. What are they going to do when there is no freedom in America? We couldn't handle the election being stolen. What's our children going to do? If Jesus don't get us out of here quickly, this thing's going to get rotten. You think it's rotten now? It ain't even smelling yet. What's our kids? What's that boy going to do if he don't see a dad and mom that's able to praise God in the midst of everything? Hey, he's far more important. He's far more important. He is and she is than all of us gray-headed apes in here this day. If God doesn't, if the church's eyes are not open, we're going to leave these kids with nothing. Hey, we can shout about our King James Bible, but if they haven't seen it work in our lives, what does it mean to them? All Manasseh ever saw was a daddy that wanted more of this. That's all I ever saw. God had to bring Manasseh into total captivity to break him to repent. He had to be completely broken. I tell you what we need. We need revival.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And God can give us revival.
Sure.
He could do it through an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, God would never do that. That's what they said. That's what the Jews said in Judah. That's what the Jews said in Israel. That's what they said. Oh, no, no. We have the temple. We have the truth. We serve Jehovah God. It'd be a whole lot better for us to humble ourselves. God's people has never been turned down when they humble themselves. Even Ahab. God helped Ahab when he humbled himself. God helped Manasseh when he humbled himself. We don't deserve revival. We don't deserve the help of God. We deserve hell with our back broke. We have no deserving. You got it better. I've got it better than we ever deserve. But God deserves a lot better than what we've gave God.
You're doing that right.
God always turns away from pride. Always. But he always helps the humble. Even the ignorant. Go back to the Word of God. Talking about grace in the Old Testament. Those people blundered in keeping the law. Blundered in it. But they was ignorant, but they was humble. And God blessed them. I tell you, God would rather have us to be humble and right with God than full of pride and think we know everything and know nothing. He said, when you think you're something and you're nothing, we're nothing. Boy, you couldn't improve what you preach, brother. We're nothing. God can bless His people. We need God. We need God. God can make it without me and you. I know there's preachers, priests that think God can't make it without us. He'll do well without us. But we can't make it without God. We can have all of it in type perfectly. We can have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. Our tie's fixed and everything right. But God knows what's in the inside.
You're right. Amen.
No one in the Bible had God do for him what God did for Hezekiah. And God just stepped back and see what Hezekiah was going to do with it. I tell you what Hezekiah did with it. He exalted himself. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name,